Podcasting 2.0 for November 21st, 2025, episode 242, Potty Pop-Up. Hey now, hello everybody. Welcome to Podcasting 2.0. It is time to talk podcasting. That's right. Everything going on with podcasting, everything that went on throughout the last 20 years, everything that's still to come, it is all here. We are the board meeting. You should be in the boardroom. In fact, we are the only boardroom that is never seditious. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama. The man who spent hours unclogging party time just for you. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one, the only Pod Sage. I'm talking about Mr. Dave Jones.
It's not only the aggregators that are clogged up. It's the sewer drain in my house is now clogged, which is
we've reverted to the outhouse.
I might have to drop trowel in the backyard behind the shed if it's not
man.
I woke up this morning and Melissa's like, there's some goo coming out of the sink. I was like,
podcast index goo.
To New York on Sunday.
Oh no.
And so we're going to be gone for a week, and we actually leave to go to Atlanta tomorrow. We're flying out of Atlanta. We're leaving tomorrow, and I'm like, man, there's no way I can get a sewer guy out here today. There's
you actually have goo coming out.
Oh yeah, no, it's for real. I'm not kidding. The sewer is backing up, and I'm like, okay, can we take like 30-second showers for however long it takes, you know, and just limp along until we leave, and then I'll call the sewer guy when we get back.
I'm worried, brother, because you can come back and then something could have happened where your entire house is filled with slop.
It's the drain line. It's like, it's not the sewer system. It's like the drain line. So it's one of those things where it's like a slow leak down. Wow. It's happened before. We got old pipes and stuff. It's it's manageable.
Come on, everybody. Help get Dave new pipes. He needs to lay new pipe. Help Dave. Man, this Cloudflare outage, it just reminds you how centralized we've become and how decentralized we need to be. I mean, holy crap. So much broke. I mean, it was just everywhere.
Yeah. No, it was bad. I mean, it's becoming more frequent because, I mean, we have like AWS, then Azure, then Cloudflare. Mm-hmm. I mean, like these are all within what, 6 weeks of each other.
And think about the government who rely on these things heavily, particularly Azure, AWS. Yeah. I don't know how much Cloudflare they're doing. But man, it was just bad. I mean, okay. So, I can't access my X account. All right, fine. But then people go, I can't get to my ChatGPT bot. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to have for dinner. I don't know how to feel.
Yeah. I mean, I had no idea what was happening at first. I mean, it's weird cause I was, excuse me. I never look at the index really. That sounded very definitive. No, I never really look at the index like in the morning. I'll do stuff later in the day, but for some weird reason, and I can't even remember what. I actually think it had something to do with a dream. I woke up and like immediately grabbed my phone, which I don't do either, but I immediately grabbed my phone off the nightstand and pulled up podcastindex.org. I still can't even remember why I did it. I was looking for something and I pulled it up and everything on it was blank.
Oh, you didn't even get the little Cloudflare where you got you, your server and the black part in the middle.
No, I got the template of what the podcast index website should look like. Ooh. And then no carousel. And then all the stats were blank.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, wait, is the API down? And then I got in and I was like, no, I'm able to make it. API calls are working. And I start pulling up servers and stuff and everything looked fine. And I'm like, man, is this weird? Every time I blame Cloudflare, it's never Cloudflare. And this time it was Cloudflare. And then I started seeing on online that everything was broken.
Right.
But yeah, it was weird.
Yeah. I mean, in my world, a lot of stuff went down because I could not get to the API for whatever reason.
Yeah, it was edge, like it was location specific.
Oh, okay. So, of course, Dallas. So I couldn't get to the API. So that meant all of my channel streams were breaking. We had stuff that wasn't updating, of course. Yeah. It got pretty busy in the podcast customer success, podcast index customer success desk.
Yeah.
My show's not updated. Look, it looks good on Podbean.
We need an AI customer success manager is what we
need. Ooh, vibe coding. Okay. All right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I can build that.
I got this idea from Jason Hudgens. I want to talk about the call we had. We had a Zoom call where he graciously gave me probably 2 hours of his time.
Now, who is this?
Jason Hudgens from Podcast Guru. Mm.
Oh, yeah. I just know him as Jason from Podcast Guru. I'm like, Jason Hudgens, who's this guy? Yeah. I don't know him.
Nobody has last names.
No, we don't need last names here. Not in the boardroom.
So he gave me, he reached out after our conversation 2 weeks ago and he was like, he's like, hey, I was hearing about talking about vibe coding and AI and all this kind of stuff. He's like, let me show you my price. Like, give me a little bit of time. Let me show you my process.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, I think I can turn you into a super coder.
Me or you?
Me.
Oh.
Specific. He said he said that you're hopeless. He said this specifically.
Adam's beyond repair. He's hopeless. We can't hold on. Let me get my turkey out here. Hold on. Okay.
But he said he's like, Dave, you can be a super coder. And so anyway, he spent a couple of hours with me showing me like his whole way that he does, the way he uses AI in his process.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say that it was very
enlightening.
First of all, it was very helpful. Yeah. And then very enlightening. But then his part, and I want to talk about it later, but then part of his, part of what he mentioned was he's like, he was talking about like bots to help people and that kind of thing. Like, and I was thinking, that would be great. Like we could get an email and it says, my RSS feed is not, my podcast not updating. Extract the feed or the ID or something out of the thing.
Oh, no.
Agentic.
No, not an email. No, we'll have a little chat bot on the website. Hi, girl. I'm Clippy. We're gonna resurrect Clippy. In fact, yes.
Indy. I'm Indy.
This is a great idea. I love it. We'll bring Clippy back. Indy. I like Indy.
Hi, I'm Indy. Your podcast index
Indy. Indy. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Indy bot. I like it. Hold on a second. Is that with an IE? I guess it is.
Indy, like Indiana Jones, it's short. It's like a nickname.
IndieBot. Okay. Yeah, that should be, it should be, Indy should be able to perform a scan, perform a reset.
Potty.
Potty.
Potty's pretty good.
Potty. Potty's even better.
That's better.
Potty.
That's better.
Yeah. I'm potty. I'm writing this down. I can build this, no doubt. I can run it on a Linode, $5 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll check. It can check stuff, of course. And it'll talk back to you. Absolutely. I'm. This is now my job. I'm
you
going
need to give
make
it IMAP
potty.
Access to your
to email
to your God. I mean to your podcast index email, so that it can just monitor for new things
for stuff. Yeah,
for emails coming in, and then automatically send an API request to reset the feed.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then reply and with a bunch of unhelpful, like
oh, no.
three paragraphs of text.
Tons of unhelpful stuff. We're going to do lots of unhelpful stuff. Yeah. It's going to say, have you tried turning it off and back on again? That'll be the stock reply to everything.
It should be a minimum conversation of at least 7 emails with the person sending the email. Starting with, have you uploaded it to Apple?
Have you uploaded it to Apple? Okay. Absolutely. I'm excited already to make this. This will be a breeze, man. I already have it mapped out in my head. The toughest part will be making potty appear on the page.
Potty
pop-up. Potty pop-up. There it is.
Yeah. You put your problems in the potty and let us fix them for you.
And then when you hit send, you hear a toilet flush. Flush.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's actually quite as you know, how much humor we're getting out of it. That could solve 90% of all success desk issues.
Success desk. Yeah, I love the success desk. Well, yeah,
of course. Hey, I pay attention.
Support request, and it has a form. You must put in your podcast like reference, like an RSS feed or an ID or something. You know,
not a form. No, it's not a form. Dave, literally, potty pops up right in the lower right hand corner. Hi, I'm Potty. How can I help you today? And then you type in, and then if you put in a podcast index URL or an ID, we can parse all that. That's easy.
Yeah.
Or your RSS feed. And I mean, I know the 10 answers to everything. So, yeah.
The 10 answers to everything?
Yeah. There's 10 questions that people ask. My favorite is always, I don't want to be on your platform.
And so, yeah, we get a steady stream of that, yeah.
And so the response is, sure, happy to remove it if you want to be gone from the 70-plus apps and services that use the podcast index. Are you sure?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I would like go, and then you go sign up for, I don't want my podcast on your system, but then I'm going to go sign up for something that uses podcast index and then complain to them to their support.
Exactly.
Your stuff doesn't work.
I love, you're scraping my feed. Bro.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. That's the point. Podcasting. That's the point. Oh, man. And then I'll have Potty just send off reams of stuff about how podcasting works.
That's a good idea. That's it could even respond to the stupid lawyer stuff.
Absolutely. Hi, stupid lawyer. I'm Potty. Yeah. How can I help you?
Yeah. You need to pay us because you're using our RSS feed. Okay. Yeah. Sit down and let Potty explain to you how RSS feeds work.
I'm going to build this. I am motivated, excited. I'm hydromated. I'm ready to go.
It.
Yeah. But all things aside, thank you so much, because I know that you spend hours unclogging stuff.
Well, you know, this is a story.
Oh, good. Let me just grab. I got my gigawatt cold brew. I'm ready to go.
Oh, you drink cold? Do you drink cold brew for real?
From Gigawatt, yeah, because it has nitro. Yeah, and you have to shake the can vigorously, and then when you open it,
it does what? Psh,
no, you hear because it releases the nitro. It's got a little bubble of nitro in there.
Nitro.
Like, yeah, as a No Agenda producer. Eli, the coffee guy. He roasts coffee.
Let's see.
Wait, hold on a second.
Yeah, what is it?
That's a good point. Let me see. Oh, I thought I had the music. Well, it's Pod Sage story time. You know, so.
Oh, do you have a story time?
I don't know. Let's see. Let's see what this is. Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time for Pod Sage story time in the boardroom, podcasting 2.0. Go ahead, Dave.
That's caught me off guard there. It's a story. I mean,
now this is the podcasting 2.0 podcast version of the sad puppy boost, the sad puppy email. You guys got to support us, because I feel somehow whatever Dave is going to tell us, bigger machines or more machines would be the answer.
So, yeah, it sort of comes down. I'll give you the bottom line first. Is it part of this really comes down to trying to be too
too sexy
tight with the purse. It's impossible for me to be too sexy.
Exactly.
But it comes down to, you know, the trying to be too tight with the purse, and really what's been biting me in the rear for a while now is I keep running up against just memory constraints, because I've been trying the aggregators. I'm trying to use a bunch of a bunch of $5 nanodes, you know, and they have a gig of RAM, but by the time you finish, you know, system's going to take some, and you, by the time you get everything a system loaded, I mean, you got maybe half that left.
Yeah,
I mean, it takes a good bit just to keep it in a running state. So you're talking about probably, you know, 400 megs of RAM that's just being used just to keep the system going.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's run into this a bunch where it just boils down, the problems I keep running into just boil down to just simply not enough memory.
Yeah.
And I've been resistant to upgrade to bigger VMs because I'm like, well, these are a 1 gig VM.
It's $5.
Right. It's $5. A 2 gig VM is $12. So I'm like, the difference between five and seven, that's $7.
By the way, that's excluding backups.
Yes. If backups, you turn on backup,
it's another $2 a month, another $2.50 a month.
That's for the five, you know, for the 12, it's more. And so I'm like, well, this multiplies and all this kind of stuff. So I keep everything to the bone expense wise. And, CLOS, running it as a Lambda, like event driven function would not help because these run 24/7. They never stop running. Yeah.
Thanks for your input, CLOS. Thanks. But you can put your hand down. There you go.
That's not him, by the way.
Dreb Scott, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Sats to the index. Yes.
Yeah, he's Dave, taking advantage of the dip.
Yes, Dave embiggen the VMs, he says.
This is a part, the party time, which is the parser on the aggregators, is written in JavaScript. It's a node.
Node.js, thing. Obviously.
It's a Node.js thing, yes. And so it is not light on memory to begin with. I've got all these ways in which it tries to detect memory problems and sort of rescue itself if it gets caught in a loop. So, you know, I mean, it doesn't know ahead of time how big these files are going to be. And so you can have, when you download a bunch of files, you try to parse them. And if you hit one that's enormous, well, then it depends on what all else you had. So, like, this is kind of hard to explain. So the way it works is there's two parts to our aggregators. There's aggravator, which is the polling agent, which downloads the files, and it saves all the files into a folder with metadata within the file. So the first line is the last modified date HTTP header. The second line is the etag header. The third line is the feed URL, and the fourth line is the current Unix timestamp of when it wrote the file, of when it polled. So, and then the rest, starting with line five and the rest of it, that is your XML content. So you have, once that, you know, aggregator pulls a couple hundred files at a couple hundred feed URLs at a time, downloads them all into these component files into init folder. Then it hands it off to party time, which picks up all these files and runs through them and parses them into and processes SQL transactions for these, for the episodes and all the different parts of the XML. So when Party Time picks up these files, it tries, you know, it grabs them all. And what it does is it tries to process them all.
Hmm.
If it hits a certain memory limit, it will just stop processing and just go with what it has already.
And when you say file, that's an RSS feed. That's what a file is.
Yeah, it's the RSS feed with some of that metadata attached at the top.
Mm-hmm.
And so it tries to process, and so the memory limit may be, you know, 400 megabytes. And once it hits 400 megabytes, it stops and bails out.
Hold on, are we actually running a machine with 400 megabytes?
No, that's what's left that's usable after in a 1 gig.
Oh, okay, okay, I got you. Yes, yeah. Okay, I got it.
And so it runs up to its supposed limit, processes what it has, what it was able to capture, and then, you know, removes those files out of the directories and then grabs another batch. So here's where the problems come in. You imagine if you have imagine you have 10 files. One of the RSS feeds is 75 megabytes.
Yeah, that's mine.
So, and you've got, let's say, a 300 megabyte limit. Well, if that 75er processes at the end, then it may just crash the whole process because it never had a chance to sort of anticipate. And you can't tell from just the file size, because remember, you're keeping the file in memory and the parsed out JavaScript objects in memory. It's inflating the size much bigger than just the file size, and you can't know in advance what it's going to be. So because you can't look at the memory management that's happening in Node. So you just have to run it in real time and calculate it as you go. And unless you hit a scenario where it just jumps way up suddenly, then the whole thing then the process crashes out. Well, so there's a backup for that. If the process crashes out, it detects that because it drops a stub file before it even starts processing. And says, you know, it drops a stub, then runs through the whole thing. And the last thing it does before the process exits is delete the stub.
Got it.
Well, it'll check for the presence of the stub when it starts on the next run. And if that thing is still there, it knows that it crashed. So if it crashed, what it will do is it will reduce the number of feeds it tries to capture the next time by half.
Oh, and then try to run that's again. Just a guess.
It's a guess.
Yeah.
And then if it crashes again, it'll reduce it again by half. And it keeps falling back over and over and over until it can get through the bottleneck and then go back up and start over. And this is I hate the way this works. I mean, it works, but it's very, I don't even have a word for it.
Lame.
It feels inelegant. It feels inelegant. And I mean, this is a known computer science like methodology, circuit breaker or back off, you know, progressive back off, whatever you want to call it. I mean, this is the way you have to do some things, but this is all just to make up, because this thing I'm describing, at these low memory levels, it happens all the time. It's constantly happening like this. But it's the trade-off you have to make to not spend, you know, $1,500 to $2,000 a month on hosting fees.
Right.
So that's the way that we do it. So I was finally, it got itself into a funk where it had like a couple of really large feeds and it could not push through. and it was just crashing over. There's two aggregators that were crashing over and over and over again, and they just would not go through. And so I had to just get in there and just recode some stuff. And I was trying to get this, trying to find a route around this code wise. And eventually I was just like, you know what? I just got to throw more memory at this thing. So I just upgraded both of those VMs from $5 to $12. And so it sounds silly. This sounds silly to people to hear. Why is $14 a month so it's such a big deal? It's a big deal because we're paying $800 a month right now for our Linode bill and another $90 for Cloudflare.
Yeah.
So I mean, we're pushing $1,000. Every dollar counts. And if you get in the mindset, this is how I talk to myself about these kinds of things.
Wait. Dave? Yes, Dave. I need to talk to you. What do you say? Self? You're capable, you're lovable, and you're worth it.
Do not become comfortable with solving problems with money. Do not let that become a thing that you get used to.
Yeah.
Because if you get used to it, you will overspend money when it's not necessary. And before you know it, you will find, just like spending money on a credit card, when you're undisciplined financially, you will find that you have spent way more money than you should have, and you will regret it.
Yeah.
And so this is the mindset I bring to the table everywhere. My day job, Podcast Index, Godcast, everything that we deal with, that we work with, your stuff, everything that I deal with, I have to keep this financial discipline in mind. And it may seem silly to argue over such a tiny amount, but that's the way you have to do it. Because cloud hosting providers, they want all of your money.
Yeah. Yes, they do.
And they will lull you into getting it and giving it to them. So I've solved it that way for now, but this gave me a good reason to go back, and we're caught up now. Everything's parsing fine. But this gave me a good reason to put into practice all the stuff that me and Jason talked about and try to move forward with the next generation of aggregators. And it's a tedious process to build a podcast aggregator. And so I've decided that I'm going to try to build it with coding agents, LLMs. And so that's my project.
All right. There is one other thing we need to take care of, which is a problem.
What's that?
So we switched to LN address and using podcastindex@getalbi.com. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not going to work.
We got blocked, evidently.
Well, no. Here's what's happening. I got the note from Moritz. Payments to Lightning addresses create an increased load on our server infrastructure because of the high payment frequency in podcasting that makes it difficult for us to reliably distinguish between spam and legitimate traffic, so some requests may get blocked accidentally. It's happening right now, in fact. He says you can log into your Albi account on getalbi.com, follow the steps to reactivate your Lightning address. For now, we've manually fixed it for the listed accounts. Well, so we got relisted or unlisted or whatever because people can't boost us right now. And so I said, you know, is this, how do you determine if something's spam? Is it, you know, for each, you know, is one sat spam? And he correctly replies by saying, one sat payments are not spam. A Lightning address resolves to a URL that gives you a Bolt 11 invoice. This invoice will be paid in the ideal case or won't be paid for different reasons. So we cannot know if there's a real payment intent behind an invoice request. And then he funnily says, He says, what did he say here?
You had solid reasons for choosing KeySend Payments in the first place.
Okay, thanks. Very helpful. The customer is always wrong. So we need to just change that. We just need to put a well-known somewhere else. We can't rely on AlbiHub because we got a lot of payments and we're going to keep getting blocked.
This is an interesting thing that he said. He's right. He's right when he says, and this is really, it's funny that I never saw this before as a fatal flaw in LNURLP.
No, me neither.
We cannot know if there's a real payment intent behind an invoice request. So you could request 7 billion invoice payments through LNURLP.
Yeah.
And never pay any of them. And essentially that would crash LND. Am I wrong? That's a DDoS against LND, isn't it?
Oh, that's an interesting question.
If you created a script that requested 50 invoices a second through a get well, you know, through, as an LN address for an LN URL payment and never paid any of them, I mean, you would eventually just exhaust LND, I think. With zero payments being made. Because it has to track that.
Yeah. That's a good question. I'm asking Grok right now.
Yeah, I mean, it has to keep track of the invoice so it knows when the invoice got paid.
Yeah.
And I'm sure this come up before, but I've just never thought about it. And, you know, I don't... I mean, we can all imagine ways to sort of defend against it where you're trying, you know, rate limiting and things like that. But I mean, that doesn't actually solve the problem.
Well, I can understand if they're operating as a hub for everybody, we've basically created the biggest vulnerability ever. It is possible to attempt a DDoS attack on an LND-based Lightning node as these nodes expose network interfaces that could be targeted.
Not helpful.
Features like onion routing for privacy. Okay, blah, blah, blah. No, you could, in fact, easily do that.
Yeah.
Keeping LND updated is crucial. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. Well, I think we should consider taking the load off of them.
Yeah, for sure. I did not intend to use Albi to begin with to get our LN address, but
it was, you needed to do it at that time.
Yeah. I wanted to get something up and running quickly. And I also didn't want to, expose our node directly to the internet.
World. Yeah.
Cause I don't, if you go look, this all is just kind of, it's all kind of frustrating. Honestly.
Yeah.
Because if you say, okay, I want an LN address, I want a Lightning address. If you say, and you have your own, if you run your own node,
aren't we creating the Bolt 11 invoice? Shouldn't we be, aren't we just using RSS or getalbi.com as for the well-known address part? Aren't we creating the Bolt 11? Why are they creating it?
No, we're running there. The Albi Hub is a node.
Oh, I see.
And we're using the Albi Hub.
I see.
You can set Albi Hub to talk to an LND node, an external LND node.
Yeah, that's how I do it.
But again, I don't know. I'm just uncomfortable with that. If you run your own node and you go and try to find a way to put LNURL on top of that, you're going to end up with something like LN bits or whatever.
Right.
Otherwise, you're on some GitHub project that has, you know, 3 stars.
Reviews are bullcrap, man. I don't trust reviews.
Well, you don't know what the quality of that thing. Yeah. I mean, like, what even is it? And but LNBits won't even function on our node because it's so gargantuan.
Right. Yeah, I see. Well, I mean, so I'm running an Albi hub at home, and obviously that works.
Mm-hmm.
So we might have to. I mean, we can run LNBits on. Although I have to talk to Graham about it, because every single time I try to set it up, it freaks out.
Yeah, because our database is so big.
Yeah. Yeah, it just crashes.
I don't know what the answer to this is.
Hmm.
I guess, you know, one answer would be, because we have a bunch of on-chain Bitcoin and we have a bunch of Lightning channels, we could just move a lot of that on-chain off of the node just to say, you know, to safeguard it.
Well, how about this? Why don't we just set up a separate node just for receiving? And because I like how we provide liquidity for a lot. I mean, we are a massive liquidity provider. I don't know how many channels we have. I can look at it. Actually.
Oh, it's like 125 or something.
And maybe even more than that. So we could just set up a separate node just for receiving and just have that be it.
I didn't think about that. That's a good idea.
I'm full of good ideas, Dave.
you've always been full of good ideas. that's a really good idea.
Why don't we do that? I'll set up.
How
much
is it
going
to cost, though?
No, it doesn't cost much. They have small nodes. I'll set it up.
Who is they?
Voltage.
Voltage. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I'll set up a small node. Smaller node.
And we can stick LNBits on top of that. And then
I'm going to try that. Yeah.
Okay.
The last time I
receive.
Yeah. The last time I tried that, though, it was like, you have to be an admin to create and have wallet. Huh? I'll have to dive into it. Another thing I got to do. When am I going to build my potty bot?
Get potty bot. Build potty bot first, then get potty bot to build the node.
Yeah, potty bot will do it. Sure. Yeah. Let me see. Let me check here. Let me see. Should be able to. I want to check our node. See how many channels we have. I should be able to do that some other way than the way I'm doing it. But anyway, yeah. Okay. We'll do that. That means another change, of course, in all
that's
fees.
Okay, though.
Yeah.
That's okay because we did use Podcast Index at podcastindex.org.
Yeah.
As the Lightning address. So
Right.
I mean, right now it redirects through Podcast Index at getalpi.com.
Mm-hmm.
It's bouncing like it's a redirect, so it should be fine if we just shoot it somewhere else.
Okay. Well, I'm almost here. Let me check our node. Okay. I have a separate device for that. This is I'm very security minded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what happens after you get a Bitcoin miner on your VM. it changes your whole
attitude, man. Yeah. Okay. Here we go. Podcast Index. All right, channels. Let me check the channels. How many channels do we have? Well, we have a lot of capacity, baby. We had 116. You're right. I thought it was more than that. 116 channels.
It used to be like 120 plus, I think.
Yeah. Sending capacity, 22 million. Receiving capacity, 225 million. Offline, 43 million. Gosh. That's pretty bad.
Why?
Well, it's just dead channels.
Oh yeah, that is bad.
Yeah. Well, they eventually close.
Well, our global rank for channel capacity is 118.
Really? Our global rank? We're 118 in the entire Lightning infrastructure?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Our capacity rank is like 368, but
right.
But our channel rank is 118.
That's not bad.
Pretty good.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. We have so much. But the balance of these nodes is beautiful. Man, we're well balanced. We're very balanced. We don't need any meds. We're well balanced.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, I feel happier about that. Yeah, I'll set up a node. We'll get that rocking. That's probably the best way to do it. We are basically creating a DDoS for Albi Hub for Get Albi.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't want to do that to them.
No. Let's see. Nice to see RSS.com going hyperlocal.
Oh yeah, and pushing the location tag. That's great.
Yeah, I like that a lot. That's very cool. So now, do you have to be hyperlocal to do that? I don't think so. Here,
I think you have to include a location.
Location tag. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me see.
That's rad, man.
I think it is too. I like it a lot. Let me see.
That's rad, man.
Yeah, man. That's super rad. Let me see. Start your podcast free. Let me see. Free podcast hosting made simple. Don't care how simple it is as long as it's free.
Man, everybody's bolting on hosting now.
Isn't that interesting? And I think many don't really know what they're getting into.
I think I agree with you.
You know, because hosting, you're basically your number, besides getting the files out, right after that comes stats. And if you don't have pretty charts and graphs and pie charts and maps and every single detail, you're dead. This is what people think is important.
Bandwidth, then stats, then support.
Bandwidth seems to be less of an issue somehow.
Yeah,
I'm not sure why, but that just seems to be less and less of an issue.
A lot of people who are hosting small amounts of podcasts are in the, what would you call that? Like they're in the fog of these CDNs where they're just sort of like hiding in the shadows of these CDNs. But as soon as, if they break out over a certain threshold,
then they get
and
screwed.
The CDN sees what they're doing, you get a phone call.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's not a fun phone call.
No.
Because you get a phone call from Cloudflare that says, hey, yeah, we've noticed your traffic.
You got a lot of egress.
Yeah, your egress traffic has spiked over the last year. And it looks like it's sustained now at around this number of terabytes per month. Yeah, we're going to need you to upgrade to our enterprise plan.
Yeah.
Our first estimate is probably going to be about
$5,000.
Yeah, about 20 grand a month.
Does that work for you?
Yeah, does that work for you?
Yeah.
Not a fun phone call.
No.
And it goes from like $20 a month to like thousands.
Yeah, exactly.
There's not an in-between.
Yeah. And the next thing is customer support. And people, because you're just going to get people saying, you know, my podcast didn't upload to Apple.
Mm. Yes, Cloudflare R2 has free bandwidth, but still every provider that says they give you free egress, there is a clause in their terms that allowed them to give you that phone call. I promise you it's not free infinitely. If you hit a certain threshold, you're going to have to pay.
And I still, you know, someone else asked me about this the other day. IPFSpodcasting.com or .net, I think it is. Is it .net? Let me see.
Yeah, I think it's .net.
That works. I mean, it still just works beautifully. And if you look at the map on IPFSpodcasting.net, man, there's coverage. And
are y'all still running a node?
I am.
An exit node?
Yeah.
Okay. Didn't Void Zero build one?
I think he still is. Let me see. Yeah, I think so. I'm just looking at the map and it looks like, yeah, that's him. That's him. That loser. He's sitting there on the map. I think he is running one. Now, of course, there are issues. But not that much. I mean, it's a pretty stable network, and I'm still running a node. Let me see. Manage. Okay. this feels good. I haven't looked at this in months. Yes, all my feeds are still up. And they're current and they're active and they're pinned by tons of servers. I mean, it's really, let me see, Node. Let me see what Node tells me. I was running two, but my, that home bake stuff? Not the Start 9, but the other one.
Umbral?
Yeah, that died.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because my Umbral died today.
Yeah, it just dies.
I don't know what happened. I didn't do anything.
Here, let's see. Goodness gracious, this is amazing. I mean, I'm hosting Smashing Security, all Twit TV shows, the Ezra Klein show. Hey, get him off. V for Valentine.
Your favorite podcast.
Pivot. I'm hosting Pivot.
Are you hosting Pivot?
Yeah, apparently. That's in the limited 48-hour episodes bin.
How are you hosting Pivot? They don't include IPFS in their RSS.
Someone's doing it. Let's take a look. Let me see. Let me click on that. Let me see what information I get. Yeah. NewYorkMag.com. I mean, I don't need their permission. Someone can just add it. You don't need permission to host somebody's feed on IPFS.
Doesn't it have to go out through, don't you have to reference it in the enclosure?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, someone's doing it. So they're losing clicks somewhere. Yeah. But I'm just saying it works. I mean, it's an amazing system. And you know, I'm seeing so many node connections. Thousands of nodes, node connections, I should say. I have 23 peers. That's not bad.
That's right. I forgot. Eric Pippi's right. It gives you a different feed. It like proxies the feed.
That's it.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
So, you know, I mean, that still works. It's still a thing. You could build a hosting company on that.
RSS.com still runs an exit node.
Oh, they're one of the biggest. Yeah. Because those guys care about the community. They care about the
community. Speaking of caring about the community.
Here we go.
Can we talk about Apple's directory in relationship to our directory?
Yes, good idea. I've seen the post. Podsage, go.
Click. I mean, I'm going to... So the way this came up is James posted, and James not the first person to post this. I mean, this is just a known issue with the index, but he's the most recent person to post about that. Some of the feed URLs
don't jive, man.
Yeah, some of the feed URLs in the index do not match what Apple Podcast shows as the feed index as the feed URL. So, given a show, whatever, Focus on the Family, Joe Rogan, anything, take a show and that feed URL, we show something different than what Apple Podcasts shows.
Yeah.
So, you could call this a problem with keeping the podcast directories in sync.
Mm-hmm. Which is what Marco used to do for us.
True, and still does.
Oh, he still does? Okay, cool.
Yes, he's still running his sync agent, and when he has... But there's reasons that... Yes, we do, Daniel. We do update.
By the way,
feed redirects.
Void Zero just said, running IPFS on all servers, we HTTP 302 forward everything that is not audio file to IPFS.io. Okay.
Okay.
There you go. Interesting.
Okay. So I'm going to be, and to Daniel's question, he said, is Podcast Index updating feed redirects? Yes, we do. We've always done that. But this is part of the problem.
People don't know about this. Some of the biggest organizations in the world don't know about this. We've seen it.
Correct.
And they just go, I'm just moving a host. I'll just change it in Apple Podcast Connect. Good to go.
And so I'm going to be upfront and honest about this whole conversation is I don't know. I've got an idea.
Oh,
but I don't know how, but in general, I don't know how to solve this because I think it's partly not solvable. But I think this needs, I would like to see a community based effort around getting something better going here. So realizing that, like, to realize the true complexity of keeping these things in sync, you have to start with mentally decoupling yourself from this idea that Apple's directory is authoritative.
Yes.
This is the issue that comes universally. Sync, the meaning multiple computers or pieces of software that have to stay in quote unquote sync with one another.
It's one of the hardest problems in the universe.
It is very difficult.
Always has
been. That's one of the reasons why Dropbox was such a power in the beginning is because they did this very well.
Yeah.
This is just like RSS feed parsing. When you first go into this, you think it's easy. And then you hit all the problems. And, you know, 3 months into a project, you're tearing your hair out. And so, but you have to decouple from this feeling, this sort of emotional attachment to Apple's directory being the authority. And I'm saying this up front, but then I'm going to contradict myself. Okay. I'm just telling you, this is going to be messy. I realize that arguments can be made that Apple's directory is authoritative. And I'm not really even going to I'm not going to even go against that. But I'm saying that it should not be.
Right.
RSS is open source. Podcasting is built on open source foundations. It is a open protocol. And the whole reason that the podcast index exists is to try to make it so that podcasting is not controlled by one single closed corporation. And like it or not, whoever controls the directory controls podcasting.
Yeah.
To a certain degree. Because if you can't, people do not search for RSS feed URLs. They search for names. They search for titles. They search for shows in a way that is disconnected from the URL of the podcast feed. And while it's true that the podcast feed will always work and is not dependent, that's not dependent on Apple. The finding the podcast requires a directory, at least at this stage of the game.
This is already sounding like it's going to end up in a SETI at home situation.
Yeah, Eric, exactly. This project started because, you know, we wanted to decouple podcasting from Apple's control. But again, I don't think you can be an idealist or some sort of utopian, you know, dreamer here. I think you have to be realistic. And one of the reasons that, so maybe this is a good way to say it. While I have convictions that Apple's directory should not be authoritative, and I also have good reasons to show that it also has problems.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Just because they show that something has a certain feed URL, that doesn't mean it's true.
Right.
They have bad data just like we do. I know because I send them emails sometimes to let them know that, you know, that they have spam in there or they have, you know, problems.
Mm-hmm.
The one advantage that they have is, and this is again sort of theoretical, but the one advantage they have is that podcasters go and change their feed URL in their directory.
Yeah.
That is a real advantage. It's a signal from the owner of the show that says, I own this show and I'm telling you, Apple, here's what my podcast feed URL is.
Right.
Now that is authoritative.
Something we can't even do for this very show.
We cannot.
Because we've been put in there by someone we don't know who.
Right. Yeah. Yep. And so their authority doesn't come from their largesse or anything like that. It comes mostly from the fact that they get firsthand attribution in many cases that the data they have is correct from the podcast owner. And that's something we don't have. We search around in the dark. We see through a glass dimly.
Ah, there it is. We've got scripture in the podcast. Good work.
So, but we have advantages. We get podcasts much faster than Apple does.
Yeah.
You know, things go into the index.
Through Podpin.
I mean, so fast. Yeah, it's crazy how fast we get stuff. But, you know, so then you have this bottom line. Neither Apple Podcast nor us is right 100% of the time.
Correct.
Sometimes they're wrong. Sometimes we're wrong. And I've seen plenty of instances where this is a common thing that happens. Let me describe this. We get a support email that says, hey, my show is, my feed URL changed. I moved from Captivate to Buzzsprout. And here's my feed on the index. And can you please here's my show on the index. Can you please update my feed URL to be this new hosting company?
Which, by the way, coming to you from the success desk is not possible if you have submitted your new feed to the index. This
right,
becomes impossible. Yeah.
So we get that email and it says, hey, my feed's wrong. So what I do is I go and I look it up and I see that they have an iTunes ID that's connected to this show. You click on the iTunes ID and the iTunes ID still shows the old incorrect URL.
Yep.
And so that's the one we have because we try to stay in sync. And I say try because it's not successful all the time, but we try to stay in sync. And that means not changing a URL if Apple still shows that they have a URL.
Wow.
So that leads to a problem that leads to this secondary problem. Secondary problem is here's the way that happens. Somebody moves to a different hosting company. That hosting company publishes that feed.
Podping, hello, new entry in the index. Got it.
Yep. Now they got two shows.
Yep.
They, even with a redirect, we will not update that show if it's not been updated in Apple Podcasts.
Right.
But now there's two shows. Then later, they go back and change their URL in Apple Podcasts. Now we have to do this heuristic dance where we try to figure out, is the podcast in? Okay, somebody has, there's now a redirect from this URL to this other URL, and Apple Podcast concurs with that. But we now have a secondary show with a conflict that also says they have that URL. Is that in Podcast Index ID higher?
Mm.
If it is, okay, make the change.
Assume, yeah.
Delete and make the change. If it's not, don't make the change.
But it can also be a, here's a third problem, can also be a hijacked feed.
True. Yes. Yep.
I see a lot of those. Yep. Not even malice intended. You know, we actually know we had a customer who was like, oh, I don't like the artwork on that feed. So I just created a new feed and it syncs up with the old feed with a new artwork. Well, you've just created a double entry.
Yeah. Yep.
Bad.
And so bad.
Bad customer. Bad.
But, okay, so I think you could say it this way. In the absence of a clear intent from the podcast owner themselves, it truly is impossible to determine which feed URL is correct. I think that's the statement of fact that we sort of like go to step two with. If you don't have a clear intent from the podcast creator, you will not know ever whether the feed URL you have is the right one. And Apple has more contact with the podcast creator than we do.
Mm-hmm.
Those are two statements that I feel are factual. Now comes, what do we do about that? If I just scrape Apple Podcast directory all the time, which we could do, then why do we exist?
Yeah.
So that's, again, and we know why we exist. We exist to return podcasting to ownership by a community of creators and hosters. We don't want it to be owned by a corporation. So the idea that I have is sort of vague and loose.
Oh, we love that.
Vague and loose.
Vague and loose. That's how I like my women.
vague and loose. The loose part I get. The vague part is confusing.
Just be vague with me. I don't need to know exactly what you're thinking.
Look, just don't get specific. That's all I ask, okay?
Yeah.
Pour me another drink. Here's sort of like a rough sketch of this idea. I bought this domain called moveyourpodcast.com.
Ooh,
it's good. And I didn't know really why I grabbed it. I just grabbed it and was like, hey, this sounds kind of interesting. We could do something with this later.
Ooh, I feel where you're going. I'm liking it already. Okay.
So my idea is, why don't we as a community, meaning the PSP, Podcasting 2.0 people, James, everybody, why don't we all come together? And this has happened. We've done things like this before. Why don't we come together and create a website at moveyourpodcast.com? I will just give that domain to whoever, you know, wants to control it. I'll give it to the PSP or whatever. Why don't we create a website that will interface directly with creators where they can verify their ownership in the new fancy ways that we do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not just email, but also, you know, the TXT record and the tokens and all this kind of stuff. We throw a website together and then we verify ownership, and then we ask, and then that they can tell us where their podcast is. And it will be an open source, community owned resource for getting this information directly from the podcast owner. And then we will take that information and distribute it to everyone. It'll go that whatever gets put in, whatever the owner says that their feed URL is on that site, we will treat that as absolutely authoritative, and we will put that in their feed, as in their podcast, as their feed URL immediately with no ifs, ands, or buts. Then we will push something out through Podping, maybe a new verb or action type through Podping, saying state as and this would be sort of like a statement of fact. Instead of, you know, like the update action in Podping, we could do something, and I'll run this by Alex and see what his thoughts are on it. We could do something like a test.
Mm-hmm.
So this is an attestation from a verified podcast creator that this show is the true URL for their podcast. And that gets distributed out through Podping. Then all the directories that are monitoring Podping can say, oh, there we go. Mm-hmm. We've just got an authoritative voice saying, I am the owner of podcast XYZ and my feed is fill in the blank.
I think that's a very good idea. Okay. The biggest problem we have is education. And I have two examples. This came up just the other day from Bill Simmons, the Ringer Podcast Network, Spotify, and listen. And the question was about what do we still call these things podcasts? But listen to the definition he looked up of the term podcast and what a podcast is.
Brian asks, at what point do we retire the term podcast? Nobody uses an iPad, and with the pivot to video and streaming, these are very clearly talk shows.
By the way, he says iPad, which is just funny. We should call it podcast, but okay.
Podcast.
Right, here we go.
Not necessarily. I think we're stuck with the term. I just think we're going to morph into saying video podcasts or podcasts, depending on if it's a video show or not. But if you look at the definition of podcast, which I looked up, a podcast is a program made available in digital format for download over the internet. So why would we change that?
Okay. So when I hear that, my skin crawls.
Yeah, me too. Uh-huh.
And October 2023, I did a keynote, the Spark Media Conference. This was all Christian faith-based podcasters. And I talked about how important their RSS feed was. And I did a cute little thing. I said, you know, some people call it really simple syndication, but I think of it as rock solid syndication. Build your house on the rock. Oh, come on. I mean, give me some props for that. And and I could see people's eyes light up like, oh, wow. Oh, because they really, and this is almost 3 years ago or 2 years ago, they really had never understood how it all worked. And quite honestly, I think hosting companies could do a better job because they make it look like you're uploading to Apple, you're uploading to Spotify. In some cases with video, they actually are. But that education piece, I think, should be more prevalent in the workflow. So you actually educate people. It's not that hard, I don't think, but educate people as to how this is really, what's really taking place and how magical it is and how important it is that we have this decentralized open system. Because the workflow, it literally looks like, let me see what RSS.com does. Because I kind of noticed it there. Because they have, yeah, they have a tab called, let me see, distribution, major directories, automatic submission, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Podcast Index, Listen Notes, RSS.com community.
Mm-hmm.
And then additional apps, automatic listing. I mean, it just the automatic submission makes it feel like you are uploading your file to those apps, to those platforms.
Mm-hmm.
So while we're talking about creating Move My Podcast, movemypodcastfeed.com. What is it? Movemypodcast.com?
Yeah, moveyourpodcast.com.
Moveyourpodcast.com. We need to, and we owe it to ourselves to continuously educate how podcasting really works, because we're losing that battle every single day. And eventually, why would you need, and it's host important for the hosting companies too. Because eventually be like, well, why just auto submit to me? Which is already happening with Spotify, with video,
YouTube.
Yeah. That's probably the best thing we can do is continue to educate.
I agree. I wonder where he got that definition from. I'm sure it's from some chatbot.
Let's take a look.
I mean, that sounds like it. It sounds like a chatbot.
What is the definition of a podcast? I'm asking ChatGPT. It's thinking. I have it in expert mode. A series of spoken word, audio, or video episodes that you can listen to or watch over the internet, usually on demand, often by subscribing through an app. Very poor.
No mention of RSS at all.
Let's look at Grok, because that's the only two ones I have an account with. Grok. Let's see what Grok says. This is Grok 4.1, so I expect it to be spot on the money. To ensure accuracy, let's search for a reliable definition of a podcast. Wow, it's really going through, man. A podcast is a digital program typically consisting of episodic audio and sometimes video content that is distributed over the internet for on-demand streaming or downloading, often through subscription via RSS feeds. At least it has RSS in there. It should be always.
Always, yeah.
Not often. So,
well, you know, I don't want to get off into the definitions of things, but I mean, it's
important.
It is. Yeah. No, it's important because if there's no understanding that there is an RSS feed behind this thing, then people don't understand what the problem is. Why things get out of sync.
Somebody needs to write me a script. Short script. Daniel J. Write me a script. I'll do a video. Hi, I'm Adam Curry. You probably think of me as an over the hill, out of work VJ. However,
I'm not out of work.
Well, I don't have a job, but I do have a podcast. No, I mean, it's all just education. I think if we want to keep it alive, then we need to continue to educate. That's for sure.
Yeah, askpoddy.com. That's good. Yeah.
Poddy will pop up. Hi, do you even know how that works, you idiot?
Do you even know what a podcast is?
Do you even know what a podcast is? Answer me. If you can't answer, that's it. I'm happy to help you with our customer success desk. But first, you have to tell me what a podcast is. If you can't answer that question, we're not going to help you.
And it's not even AI. It's not even AI. It just looks, if you didn't put the word RSS in there, it rejected.
Exactly.
False.
Exactly.
Yeah. Go away.
Oh, man.
Well, I mean, I that's the only way I can think of to get a handle on this problem is taking the voice of the owner, the attestation of the podcast owner, and putting it into a place that is community managed, where we can all hook in to that authoritative source.
I totally agree.
And get proper attribution. And because you can't just trust the podcast hosting company. It's not, I'm not saying that they're nefarious. What I'm saying is they don't know what's going on. Like this happens all the time. I can tell you this scenario. I've seen podcasts that are literally they have identical shows on like seven different podcast hosts.
I know. I've seen it too.
they'll start over on Buzzsprout, then they'll go to RSS.com, then they'll make one on Spreaker, then they'll make one on on Red Circle, then they'll make one on Captivate, then they'll make one on Libsyn. They will literally have seven accounts with the same show on it.
Yep.
Because they're like shopping or something. They're trying to figure out what they'll go from RSS.com over to Buzzsprout and then to Libsyn and then back to RSS.com. Yep. And then they'll go from RSS.com to Blueberry. Yep. And then they'll go back to RSS.com. It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And none of those hosting companies, none of them know what to attest to as the authoritative URL.
Right.
They're just a cog in the wheel of the machine at that point. Mm-hmm. They can't claim ownership because they don't know. It's the podcaster. Yes. That has to tell us where their show lives.
Yes.
So whatever the solution to this is, I feel like it's got to be that. And, moveyourpodcast.com, we can use that. We can use some other thing, but it doesn't matter. I don't care. But I feel like that has to happen.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's a very good idea. And we'll never get the deserved Peace Prize Award for this work that we're doing. Never. Give up on it.
We're solving global strife.
Yes, give up on the prize. Adam Carolla will get that. Don't worry. But
I used to have this this silver coin that's it had a picture of Dick Cheney on the back of it. And it said, God, I'm trying to remember the quote on it. It said something like, battling global terrorism by creating it or something like that. And it's like, that's what we're battling global strife by creating strife. Yes. By creating more strife.
Yes. Yes. Well, education and that hub is a great idea. Let's see if that can get picked up. I will gladly participate. And you send me a script, I'll do it. Whatever.
Yeah. Whatever. You're going to create Potty, and Potty is going to be what powers.
Yes. Potty power.
Boost, Potty. Boost. Boost.
Potty is your back end.
Wow. That's deep. That's very deep. I like that a lot. Potty is your back end. I was thanking some people, Dave. Get you out on time. We got
it's that time already.
Yeah, it is. 1,000 sats from Dreb Scott here, who comes in from Castomatic. Sage advice from the Pod Sage. 333 from Salty Crayon. All in the Potty Helper. Potty, where's my transcript? We got that baller boost from Dreb Scott. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 from Podverse. He was slinging some sats to the index for doing big in the VMs.
Sats are cheap.
That's right. 555 from Salty Crayon. Howdy, Dave and Adam. Glad it took to shut up the Noster Bros and Zaps was Cloudflare and Rust. Chalk up another win for Nodes and Keysend in Trump voice. Are you tired of winning yet? What happened with Noster? Did Cloudflare go down and Noster went down?
Did that happen for real?
I don't know. I guess. I'm curious about that. I wonder.
Interesting, because because it's decentralized and censorship resistant.
Yes. Does anyone in the boardroom know? Salty Crayon? Anybody? Hello? Is this thing on?
It's decentralized and censorship resistant, unless Cloudflare goes down.
Chad F is typing, so Chad F is the one who would know, I guess. C Brooklyn 112 says Noster worked. Oh, Salty Crayon says the Zaps didn't. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
One of the clients was down.
Okay. Yeah, well, just you only need one. You only need a big one that everybody uses. That's how it goes.
And then you're blue sky.
And Strike. Yeah, Strike went down. Yeah, I saw that too. Strike went. I'm glad Strike went down, so I didn't have to look at the Bitcoin price.
I don't want to see that thing at all.
This is funny. I love all the memes about the Bitcoin. All the hot takes. Bitcoin has a math problem. Okay. Yeah, my favorite is
problem?
Oh yeah. This all kinds of nonsense. Another one is AI and quantum will be able to decrypt Bitcoin. Bro, like Bitcoin's sure, not encrypted, It's like, okay, fine, whatever. Mm-hmm. All right, what you got on the list?
Let's see. Oh, these are all these PayPals are going to be mixed in.
So mixed, we got, you mean monthlies and one-offs mixed?
Yeah.
Good job.
Well, actually, you know what? I can do it different.
Bombshell.
I can separate them in real time because I'm that good.
Yo.
Edgar Rios, $10, no note. That's a one time.
Thank you, Edgar.
Do you see how I just extracted that out of the list?
Yeah, you're phenomenal. Pod Sage for the win.
Yes. Lauren Ball. These are monthlies. Lauren Ball, $24.20. Thank you, Lauren. Appreciate that. Podverse, that's Mitch and Creon over there. Still waiting for podcast, Podverse Next Gen, by the way. $50. Thank you, guys. Mitch Downey coming in, always, he's always right behind Podverse. Funny how that works. $10. I haven't even talked to Mitch in like 4 months.
I saw him post the other day.
He did?
Yeah. He posted about Podverse Next Gen.
Oh, I must have missed it on the index.
Yeah. No, he's
social.
He said, what did he say? He said it was going to be focused on something specific, which I kind of liked. No, I can't remember what it was going on. I'll have to look it up. I'll look up what he said because I was like, oh, that's cool. That sounds like he's doing something different again. Because you remember, Podverse started as specifically clips. For clips. Yeah, for sharing clips. Hold on a second. Let me see if I can find it. Mitch. Let me see what Mitch said. He said, quick demo of the video feature.
Oh, video.
Oh, here. It's long overdue, but I think the Podverse 2.0 website will finally be available in beta before the end of the month, which is a precursor to the app. The goal of Podverse 2.0 is to support as many podcasting 2.0 features as possible from the ground up. Emphasis is placed on multiple medium experiences. That's 3M. Podcast, yes. Video, and music. Other goals include a focus on optimizing app performances, simplifying code. Okay, so and I think he's going to do a lot of music highlighting, so not just as an afterthought, but as a specific music section or whatever.
That's
so
cool.
Yeah, he's been posting a lot, actually. So cool, Mitch. We're excited. Excited to see what you come up with, brother.
And Jason from Podcast Guru, I had a long talk with him the other day, and he's got some pretty good stuff cooking, too. So we're going to, as soon as he's got some stuff he's cooking up right now, and as soon as he releases that, we're going to have him on the show.
Nice.
Christopher Harabarek, $10.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Terry Keller, $5. Thank you, Terry. Chris Cowan, $5. Silicone Florist, $10. Damon Kasajak, $15.
These are all great. Weeks. Thank you so much. These are fantastic.
Yeah, 2 weeks of donations here. Derek J. Visker, that's the best name in podcasting, $21.
Nice.
Paul Saltzman. $22.22.
Yes, Paul's always the same and always there. Thank you, Paul.
Jeremy Gertz, $5. Thank you, Jeremy. Gene Liverman. Hey, Gene. And Gene and Archie both run Podcast Index monitoring.
Ooh.
So whenever Podcast Index goes down, I get pinged in the emails.
Nice.
And it was blowing up on Cloudflare Day, let me tell you.
I'll bet. Let me see. They have a website?
Gene actually sent me an email and was like, hey, do you want me to turn off the emails? Because they're blowing up.
Yeah, cool.
I was like, no, man, let them run.
Let them roll, fine. Yeah.
Michael Hall, $5.50. Thank you, Michael. New Media Productions. That's Todd and Rob. And
that,
I guess
is that Todd from Heaven?
I guess so. $30 from, you know, from the.
God. Yeah. He put us on an automatic pay.
That's what I'm saying. It's still running.
That's Todd from Heaven, brother.
Yeah.
I'll take it. Thank you, Todd. Think of you a lot, man.
If, you know, Rob, if you need $30 a month, tell us.
Yeah.
I guess it'll just run.
Until it runs out.
Until we join Todd. Timothy Voice, $10. Thank you, Timothy. Basil Phillip, $25. Thank you, Basil. Look at this. It's Buzzsprout, $1,000.
Yeah, baby.
Baller, shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
Thank you, boys and girls from Buzzsprout. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Keeping it rolling for us.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate that. Oystein Berha, $5. $5 from Michael Goggin. Jorge Hernandez, $5. And that's our group. Let's see. We got some boosts.
Not many.
Not many, but I, you know, I always somehow manage to read the same boost that you just read like 2 seconds ago.
Yeah, appreciate that. Makes me feel important.
It's because after, by the time I finished running through the PayPals, I've forgotten what the boosts were.
It's okay. I'll call it out.
Let's see. Gene Everett, Satchel Richards, 1111. Hey guys, I was just curious if you could mention on the show current status. Of what status, that sounds Canadian, status of what depends on Hive blockchain for Pod 2.0. Hive is not in a good place right now. And I notice a few people ask, is it not in a good place?
Oh goodness, please. No. Oh, now you know that Brian of London's going to blow up the signal chat.
This is false.
Yeah. They had a hard fork, and I think everything went smoothly. Not a pod ping was missed, the way I understood it.
I think there will be disruptions coming years on Hive chain personally, and was curious how easy to not depend on this step might be years out. Cheers. I'm not aware of any issue, but
neither
I'm going to pass this boost straight through to Brian of London so he can tell us the truth. And, yeah, I mean, we have alternatives. Yeah, we can switch Podping to use something else. I'm not too worried about that. Let's see. Oh, the Ugly Quacking Duck. That's Bruce, 2222, through Podcast Guru, speak of the devil. He says, build it big. Make it for gaming. It should be able to handle anything. I'm not sure what he's talking about. But
we'll do it. We'll do that tomorrow, over the weekend. Yeah.
Done. Consider it done. Jake LSTR. That sounds like a C programming language function. A big Satchel of Richards, 11111.
Whoa, thank you.
Through Fountain. He says, on the last show, Dave used the term horny gay guy.
Oh, no.
Which I'm sure you are aware is my phrase that pays.
Hey, welcome to Z100. Hey. What's the phrase that pays? Horny gay guy.
Yeah. I don't remember using the term horny gay guy, but we got 11,000 sats out of it. So sure.
Good job, Dave.
Mere Mortals Podcast. That's Kyron. That's Satchel of Richards. Hey, Kyron. Thanks for that. Through Fountain, he says, hey, Dave, the creator of Satoshi.stream was looking for a way to read up on the latest developments of what he might need to do with the move away from Keysend. Well, number one, don't go through Albie's hub.
Yeah. Close up shop is the answer.
Yeah. Any particular resource or blog or summary I could send him to catch up with on all the discussion here?
Well, that's a good question. I don't think we have one particular resource. I mean, I believe he's on Podcast Index, .social.
I thought.
If not, hit me up and I'll let you.
He's a Telegram guy, right?
Oh, yeah. Telegram. Yeah.
I forget Telegram exists.
No, I know it exists because I have to keep deleting spammers from the Podcast Index group. Hi, it's Elsie.
Gross.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I mean, like, it's basically just a Lightning address instead of
Keysend. It's LNURL instead of Keysend. Yeah.
And so you just, the method is.
Well, the problem is he's going to have to create LN addresses for all of his recipients. He has to create a well-known for everybody. And that's the problem. Maybe he can do that with what's the thing called? LN bits.
Yeah.
Put that on top, maybe, because you can create a lot of addresses with that.
Just stick it on top. Just like.
Yeah, just stick it on top.
Just rub it right on the top.
God, that's, Dave. Back to your horny gay guy.
That's, no. Well, I mean, to quote Moritz from Albie. There were solid reasons for choosing Keysend.
There were solid reasons. We agree.
Yeah. Okay.
It's victim. Well, that's victim shaming is what that is, but okay.
Victim shaming. That is true. Me too. So I would say Satoshi.stream would be good to get on the index.
Yeah. If you're not, send me an email, adam@curry.com, and I'll get you on.
Okay. Wait. Is this, I think you already read this one. No, we got two from Comics Strip Blogger.
Oh, well, yeah. One for each show. For, yeah, we missed one show.
Yeah. Comics Strip Blogger. That's a double delimiter, which is valid.
It is.
16,000, 15 sats.
Nice.
Through Fountain.
Nice.
This is last week. He said, howdy, Dave and Adam. Today, I'd like to recommend a podcast called Podcast 411. That's the word podcast. And the numbers 411 written together.
Mm.
It features insider interviews with podcast legends like Todd Cochran and Aaron Monkey, along with pro tips from editors. Real talk for podcasters. You can find it by visiting podcast411.libsyn.com or by searching for Podcast 411 in your favorite podcast app, YoCSB, the AI Arch Wizard.
Mm.
That's delimiter number one. Delimiter number two is 18,000, 15 sats through Fountain. And he says, howdy, Dave and Adam. Today, I'd like to recommend a podcast called Podcast 411. It's the same podcast.
Sorry, it's just double promo, ain't
it? Just doubling, yes. You can find it by visiting podcast411.libsyn.com or by searching for Podcast 411 in your favorite podcast app. Yo, CSB, the AI Arch Wizard.
He is the one and only AI Arch Wizard.
Thank you for doubling up on us, CSB.
Yeah, we appreciate that. All right.
Yeah, Rob Walch's podcast. That's his thing. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you all very much for supporting the Podcast Index Project. If you want to support us, you can boost us. I think you can also send us on-chain Bitcoin. We'll accept. And if not, you can always go to podcastindex.org, scroll down to the bottom, big red donate button, send us your fiat fund coupons through PayPal. And thank you all so much for supporting the project, for keeping it going. I think last count, more than 70 apps and services use the Podcast Index. It's become quite an important resource, and it's funded by you. And we love that. And we don't accept a peace prize. In fact, if they offered it to us, we'd decline it.
I would turn it down.
Yeah, so I don't need your stinking peace prize.
With respect.
All right, everybody. Perfect timing. 2 minutes over. Dave, you going rock climbing again this weekend?
No, we are. We have a school function tonight. We have a wedding tomorrow morning, and then we're leaving to go to Atlanta tomorrow night, and then flying out to New York on Sunday.
Okay. How long are you going to be in the Big Apple?
For a week. So I will miss next week's show.
Okay. When you're there, I need a report from you how much weed you smell while walking on the streets.
If it's as much as I smell here, it'll be a lot.
That'll do it, everybody, for Podcasting 2.0. The board meeting will take off next week. We'll be back the week after that. Have a good one, everybody. Adios.
Podcasts are cool.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting! When am I going to build my potty bot?